have the option of going statewide on ballot measures. I'll leave that up to your discretion, but I felt as a beginning a step that it should not be allowed to be used for candidates, but only money measures, not on primary or general elections, and confine it to the largest unit of local government. And I just felt that would be a good beginning step for what it's worth.
I think, Peter, our observation, both Glenn's and my observation, was, though, that after looking at, you know, how it worked, that we felt comfortable in recommending that we could use it on certain limited candidate elections or ballot measure elections. And as to where it would happen, now, Del Riley, the Linn County clerk, has signed up to testify. Del was down there with us. As I understand it, Dell's very interested in trying it in a Linn County election. I wouldn't be surprised. I can't speak for Secretary of State Paulus, but I would, you know, it's very possible that that would be a county, particularly since Dell observed down there, and Bill Radakovich from Multnomah County was also there observing, that it's very possible that both of those counties might be a place where it would try it. I don't want to step out of place here and say, you know, that's where it would be. I think that's got to be determined at the time on the basis of the election, just what kind of election it is and whether we feel that that's a good place, or the Secretary of State's office and the Elections Division feels that that's a good place to try it.
Do we, is anybody ready to bring up, anybody fair where it's going to go in the Senate?
we have an idea where it's going to go.
But we know it won't go to the Senate Elections Committee.
We're fortunate.
No, I think there's support in the Senate. We feel there's support in the Senate for it. But Representative Whalen and I have a letter from the Senate Majority Leader who says he has no pride of authorship in his measure and is willing to support a measure that we come out with. So. With that kind of commitment in writing, I think we'll receive good support in the Senate.
Okay,
thank you very much. Ray, why don't you come back up? Well, we're doing all right time-wise. I think go right ahead.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Ray Phelps from the Secretary of State's office. I can go through the bill section by section explaining what we have in mind, or I can answer questions, whichever you prefer.
Well, why don't you, I'd like to walk through the bill.
All right.
I think it would be illustrative, and particularly,
I don't know if Dell's had a chance to look at your amendments or not, but we can go through it, and then the other witnesses will know the amended version that we're talking about.
I did give Mr. Riley, the Linn County Clerk, a copy of my handwritten, draft that we used with legislative counsel. It was also fairly much the same that I gave you and Chairman Whalen day before yesterday. So I haven't talked to him in the last hour or so, but I don't know that he had any problem with language. But in any case, I'm sure we can get to that later. Essentially, in Section 1, what we're providing is that the Secretary of State can trigger the vote-by-mail mechanisms, and that the county clerk will assist with that process. And also then, in lines 6 through 9, in deciding to conduct the election, the Secretary may consider such requests as may be presented by a governing body of a county, a city, or a district, and may consider whether conducting an election by mail will be economically and administratively feasible. The key element in Section 1 is the fact of the triggering mechanisms. Until we know what we're doing, I think what we have to do is be sure that we don't trigger a vote by mail election in a particular area or for a particular ballot type or style that is not going to work well. Mrs. Paulus is extremely concerned that this system give a fair, honest chance of working, and that the public's confidence and its public's perception are such that they're very supportive. So we want to be very careful as to how we go about doing this. So that's the element or the essential element of Section 1.
Question.
Representative Otto.
Subsection
what you said, Ray, I would assume then that, for example, the city of Troutdale or the city of Wood Village could have three issues on the ballot. The city, city levy, rental school district levy, maybe Mount Hood Community College levy, Fire District 10 levy on the ballot. So I'm assuming that you would not exercise this authority unless there was just one issue on the ballot.
No, it's conceivable that we could, in that the subsection 1 of 1 is limitless as to size.
I know,
size.
That's the way the it's written.
Right.
But I guess my question would be, would you conceivably think of having me as a citizen of that area, voter of that area, vote for a fire district levy by mail, and then also have to go to the polling booth to vote on the school district
election? No, sir. There will be one system in an electoral district. In other words, it will be all done by mail, or it will be all done by polling places. We're not going to mix and match.
All right, but where you have districts that do not have the same boundaries, you'd have to be quite selective.
Well, you would, but what you could do is, theoretically, is if you took the example that you gave me with the fire, city, community college, and so on, you would go into the outer out boundary, if you will, of the largest of the districts and work your way inward, so that you could maybe in the outer reaches have only the ballot for the community college. And then as you move in, there may be electors qualified for 2 out of the 4. And then there may be electors qualified for 3 out of the 4. And then you get into the core group where you would have electors qualified for all 4 ballots. In other words, working your way down in an upside-down pyramid, if you will. That's potentially possible. Now, whether that, in fact, will occur, I don't know. The bill sunsets in August of 1983. If we find out that we're a whole lot better than we believe we are, as elections people, and we get very comfortable with this, and we find out that, gee, this system really is neat, and we can really work with it and do some good things, we may go from one measure to 2 measures, or 2 to 3, and in other words, have the capability, the potential of doing this, and we need the discretion to go that far, or at least find out we cannot go that far, so that in 1983 we could potentially come back to the legislature with a report that simply says 2 measures is the maximum. You get beyond 2 measures, you're just begging for a problem, and here's why. And or candidates will or won't work, and here's why.
All right, how long before the election takes place would you have to know whether or not you're going to implement vote by mail?
Well, frankly, in my mind's eye, we would not have to concern ourselves specifically with an elections notice. The notice wouldn't trigger us. If we were to decide that a pilot program is a very good thing to have in Linn County, we literally could sit down and work with the county clerk tomorrow to develop the procedures that Representatives Whalen and Lombard saw, because the procedures will be the same regardless. And we know there are 6 uniform election dates. And for all practical purposes, if you read the newspapers several months ahead of time or 6-8 weeks before, you got a pretty good idea the school district's going to have a budget or this particular taxing group's going to do this or that. So frankly, we could set up the elections mechanism, and as soon as we get the elections notice, instead of hiring election boards and designating polling places, we go out and print ballot and envelopes and go by mail and then go down to the newspaper.
Under our election laws, if they go through the system and all, and even with the ones we have, you're going to have to make that decision on the 34th day before the election.
No. What we would do is we would decide to vote by mail, and be very frank with you, what we do is we would make the decision specifically toward a county, and then when the measure and or ballot came to us, that would be it. Irrespective of whether or not we decided 34 days ahead of time. In other words, I can decide 60 days ahead of time to do an election by mail, set up the procedures and the routines and work out with the county clerk what's necessary to be sure that everything is done properly. And then when we get elections notice on the 34th day before, we just merely print the ballot.
All right, but then you are triggering your actions to the largest district.
That's correct.
You'd have to trigger what you do to the largest district.
Mm-hmm.
And then if the others fall in line, they would come into the program.
Yes. The other part of it is if you're dealing with, yes, and that was what we said before. Now, let's assume that we're very nervous and we decide, gee whiz, we're not too sure that we're not going to wind up with a half a dozen different election districts, and we don't want to get into that right now. What we might do is we may isolate a specific district and go to them directly and say, do you think you're going to do something here in the next month or 6 weeks? But if they are, then we could set up our systems that way. But the procedures will be the same whether, you know, we know there's going to be an election or not, so that we can be working on the skeleton of this thing so it can easily plug in at the time we know there's an election.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, just continuing this a little bit further. Let's take some concrete examples.
Sure.
Let's take Mount Hood Community College District. That covers portions of Multnomah County, Clackamas County, and Hood River County. Maybe some other counties. I don't know.
I don't know, but at least those three.
At least those three. So now we're going to, would you plan on vote by mail in all three counties?
Yes. Using your example, yes, sir.
All right, you'd vote by mail in all three counties.
Mm-hmm.
But in the process of doing that, it's very likely that a small,
sure,
a fire district in Hood River County or Clackamas County may, part of it in the Mount Hood College District and part of it out. Now, you've told us that all elections, if you trigger that device, would be by mail. Now, what are you going to do about that district that's hanging out here a little bit?
Well, assuming your example would probably be one that would be relevant, say, a year from now, we would be in a position of saying simply, well, we're going to do them both by mail. We're going to do the fire district because it laps in and its individual other precincts by mm-hmm. mail, and we're going to do the Hood River with the fire district with its individual precincts. We're going to have to try it somewhere down the road.
Because, I appreciate that.
But it may be a year and a half from now, Representative Otto, but it's going to have to be tried. Otherwise, the system of mail won't work.
Yeah, I appreciate that. But then if we go ahead and we include this fire district in Clackamas County that is part in and part out,
mm-hmm.
and then there's the water district involved, well...
Yeah, it tends to... No, I understand, but...
Doing that.
But in effect, that's what we do now when we assign polling places.
Yeah. Okay.
And so we're just going to have to bite that bullet sometime within the next year, year and a half. If we don't, then we cannot honestly say that we can give you a fair appraisal because, as you know, local government structures are such that darn near all overlap partially.
Right.
And so the voting system is going to have to be able to tune into that, or we're going to have to back off and say, in Oregon, because of the way we have our local government set up, it won't work. I mean, it's going to have to come down to something like that.
Yeah.
No, I can appreciate what you're pursuing, and I have the same apprehensions, and because of that, that's the triggering mechanisms. There are certain county clerks in this state that I just think are super and are going to do this thing and do it right, and they'll probably spend more time and energy than you and I can even dream mm-hmm. about. I know we'll be involved with them too. And we're going to try that with those people that we are pretty sure that given this kind of a challenge, whatever it takes, they'll make it succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And so we won't blow the election. At the same time, we might back up and say, oh gosh, we did it once and learned and we can't do it anymore. We did it once and gee, it wasn't as bad as we thought. And that's what we need to be able to do.
I like the concept.
No, I know you do.
That's not my concern. It'd be somebody else's concern, but I'm concerned about the mechanics.
So am I. I'd be less than honest with you if I wasn't same concern as you. But I have a lot of confidence in our ability and in the ability of the county clerks that we would be working with, that I believe personally that if it's going to work at all, we'll give it an honest chance. And that's the best I can say. It will work.
Probably get some of our more rural counties where there wouldn't have to be the overlap of the districts.
Sure, and that may be a result. We may find that we have a system here that does have to maybe only workable in a rural situation or in a non-layered structure.
Yeah.
But we need to be able to find out. I know professionally and competent-wise, I know we can do it. I know we, and I know there's a dozen or 20 county clerks out there that can do it. I just know that.
Representative Hendrickson?
Yeah, Ray, I was just wondering, I still don't understand, since the people are going to be, I would think, since the people are, you're going to be tallying and cross-checking these people by mail, that it would be easier to have a dual system this way than the present way that we do it, where we have voting the same day, where everybody's coming in and voting on the same day.
Well, the thing, Representative Hendrickson, that we're dealing with here is we're dealing with the fact that we're taking an elections office, mm-hmm. and we're converting it into not only the Office of Voter Registration and the Office of Ballot Distribution, but it's also the Office of Counting the Ballots, and it's also the Office of Issuing Replacement Ballots. It becomes, if you will, the county clerk's office and all the polling places at one place at one time. And if you get too much activity with respect to individual processes, first of all, I don't know that in most county clerk offices in the state you could physically put that many people in the building to work. Secondly, it's very...
Excuse me.
Sure.
But by that, do you mean to do the mailing thing?
Well, not only the mailing, but electors coming in to register. And then those electors, some portions of which would be voting at the particular county clerk's office. In other words, you're doing everything in one place. Mm-hmm. For example, in Lane County. We've had many, many opportunities to listen to the fact that the facility is inadequate and that people are waiting in long lines on election day to register and or receive their absentee ballot.
Well, they have a pretty large facility down there.
You bet they do. And in most counties, they're about four times bigger. There are some courthouses, so help me.
Ray, let me interject here, because I think to put it in this perspective, that unlike the polling place election on election day where the ballots simply come in, they're, the tags are taken off the ends and they're made ready for the computer. This process involves every day, beginning from the day the ballots start coming in, the process is very labor intensive.
Right, they've got to check
it. It involves a system, and we were looking in Los Angeles and San Diego of two big warehouses, enormous areas. Labor-intensive process of people sitting down, going through registration cards, going through trays of registration cards and verifying signatures with the outside envelope. As I recall, they didn't even start bursting those envelopes and preparing for counting. And they couldn't do so until 5 days before the election. And then on the fifth day before the election, they set up another war room of sorts in which the envelopes were burst open. The ballots were removed. And then they had even a follow-up verification process. Even after the ballots were removed, they had a follow-up process and retained these outside envelopes like you have in the bar, mm-hmm. you know, with the signature on it, just kind of to check against the possibility of anybody at the last minute coming in again with another ballot.
Right.
And it's very labor-intensive in that sense, and that's why I say it's got a little more integrity to the process than just the process we have today.
But when did, maybe you said that, when was the bulk, or they were then continually going through this checking process up to the final date?
And beyond the final date.
Or was most of it done ahead of time because they'd received it in the mail?
Well, no. The figures I can, and I'll have copies of this made for the committee, but they said the first day 7,200, then it went up to 79,800, 46,000, 27,000, 17,000, 20,000, 15,000, 11, 93, 10, 8,700, then up to 10, 8, and then the last day was about 15, wasn't
mm-hmm.
it? About 15,000 on the last day. And once
see,
it goes
to... It appears to me that that would be more manageable and controllable than the present system, where it all has to be done on the same day.
No, it doesn't. It's not done at all. The very thing that he's described is not done at all today, under today's system. There is no signature verification at all today when you vote
other than
polling
absentee ballots.
Plus the fact you're distributing, the equivalent would be that the warehouse that Representative Lombard would describe was probably somewhere, I would guess, in the neighborhood of 50 to 65,000 square feet. To do the analogy of a polling place, you would need about 100,000 square feet for Lane County. You would probably need several hundred people representing those election board potential type persons, and you're doing it all in one day. By stretching it out and making this a process over, say, 20 days, roughly, because you're mailing on the 20th day and you're down to 0 day, you have an extremely labor-intensive operation where a person can do, well, I would say roughly 200 verifications a day. So that if you're dealing with 79,000 ballots in one day, I mean, the arithmetic says I'm going to need five maybe or 6 days, depending on how I staff that operation, to verify just those 79,000 while 40,000 are coming in right behind it, just to use the San Diego example. So that I may receive in the third day of voting 79,000 ballots, but it may take me five, 7 more days just to verify those to come down to do the next level. Then you say, well, all right, then given that 200 equals, make a division, and therefore we'll have so many people that we can do all 79,000 in one day by doing the equation of 200 each. The problem you get into in that respect is that you're still only having to do with one record with a random return, so that I cannot have so many people in the room working with the same records, otherwise that becomes also inefficient. There are people, you know, queuing up waiting to go look at a particular record because I'm getting precinct 1, precinct 10, then I'm back to precinct 1 and
you know, it
and
seems
that
like
sort of thing.
I would assume if this thing goes, I don't see why they couldn't get some kind of optical scanner equipment to manage the things that come in with the cards.
Well, that technically is out there. It's not near ready, though, with respect to the phone company, I think, has a system.
Los Angeles was...
No,
geez, we saw
Westinghouse.
Some computer, we saw some computer stuff, and then Westinghouse gave us some
Westinghouse.
Stuff. It's down the road, yeah.
That seems like a real inefficient way to
well,
do it.
Well, admittedly. And boy, I'll tell you what, there ain't nobody in the world that would love to do it differently. I've been accused of being a computer freak anyway. But the thing is that right now the state of the art is such that it has to be manual, number one. Number two, if we were to even get into the prototype business, the costs would be just fantastic. And, you know, even if it was reasonably purchasable, there are probably half the counties in the states that can't reach out for it because they simply don't have either the need and or the money to buy it. And I'm thinking of all the counties that do not have computerized voting right now. And there are 16 of those counties.
So you're
still
saying
vote
that they're
going
to have so many
paper.
More people hired than they had before.
No, they would
they
have fewer the number, but they stretch it out over the... They would have equivalently probably, three-fourths the... One-half to three-fourths the man-hours that you do by working at a polling place situation that we traditionally have today.
Mm-hmm.
But you're spreading that workload over a longer period of time.
Okay, I'm still having problems seeing... The thing that I'm concerned about, and I mentioned it...
Well,
I
want
to
get to that.
...is what I see it as a factual way to get rid of the last day voter registration.
Well...
And I'm very interested in this mail system. I think it's a very good idea. I still have not been convinced that you couldn't operate a dual system. You require everyone that's going to vote by mail to have to register within 30 days, whatever your cutoff is. But then for those individuals, and they always will be there for whatever reason,
mm-hmm.
to not do that,
mm-hmm.
there is some kind of system that allows them to vote and register.
Okay, well, assuming that we're not going to get into the business about two systems running at the same time, with two voter registration systems kind of running at the same time, you just got to have one or the other, and that's all you have.
Well, why are you making that assumption?
Because of the Attorney General opinion that we asked
well,
for.
He said if there's a reasonable classification and compelling state interest, I don't see why you couldn't have equal compelling state interest in making sure that people aren't disenfranchised?
Well, let me put it to you this way. As an election official of 9 years' experience, and that's all I can trade on, if you ask me to run an election by mail, and this is the very same example I used with Representative Lombard, if you ask me to run an election by mail that maybe went to a maximum of 5,000 electors, and you ask me to maintain a voter registration system, and I say we're in a county the size of Multnomah where I have the resources and the facilities, I probably could do it. But if you want me to run an election system that consists of 300,000 in Multnomah County, then I'm not going to run it. I'm just simply not going to run it. You're going to, first of all, not have accurate voter registration records. The result will be I will be giving ballots to people and not being sure even if they live in Multnomah County. Then I'll be in a situation.
Well, I don't understand. Why under this mail system would that be any different than the way it is now? Or are you saying it isn't?
I think I'd give an example, Ray. And I guess we really do get into some technicalities. But you open up to, or you leave the registration a situation open right to the end. Let's say you've got a situation where you've mailed, as you did in California, your ballots 15 days before the election. And you start getting, and you make a provision that you can start bursting those envelopes 5 days before the election. And then you have an individual who was previously registered, who got a ballot, who comes in within that five-day period to change his or her address, or to re-register. You have already burst the envelope of the people who sent their ballots in early. And
but don't you keep track of their names someplace?
Oh, you've got their names in a different system, but you, at that point, their original ballot is in. You cannot, you know, you can't pull that ballot. The ballot's already in the count system.
Yeah, but you should have their envelope filed someplace alphabetically. So why can't you check and see if they sent an envelope?
Well, you know, just take the San Diego example. That's 200,000 envelopes. Now, how much time am I going to go and spend to go find your envelope?
Well, I'm sure they're not just going to throw them in a pile. They must
they
have
do come in that way. That's 79.
Alphabetically, you know.
Well, that 79,000 envelopes took 2 days to sort. So you're standing there and you're saying, I want to do this. My envelope's out. I mean, where is it? It's going to take me a couple of days to sort it down.
You said, though, that if someone comes in and say, I lost my envelope, or the cat ate my envelope, or all the stories will come in, or the kid got peanut butter on my envelope, so I have to get a new envelope. You said they're prepared to handle those kind of situations. I can't really see.
Because I'm dealing with a static voter registration record. I can go over and say, oh, there's their voter registration record. No, they haven't voted. I'm going to identify this as a replacement situation so that if that ballot comes streaming in any other manner, then I can identify that now I've got two ballots. The file is static, it's set, and it's manageable. If I am updating, changing, and adding and deleting from my registration file while I'm trying to verify whether or not I've got one, two, three ballots from you, it's going to miss. You're just not going to be able to handle that, particularly in the sizes that we're thinking about doing it. And I'm thinking, for example, maybe in the Metropolitan Service District or the Salem Mass Transit District or some mass transit districts down in Southern Oregon. It's just that you've got to first of all say, all right, this is the number of people that are going to get this ballot. I can say that, and I can say that with certainty. And they're all going to get it at the same time. Now, I've got my voter registration system set that now I can work with that static record that I'm not, you know, I'm not looking over here on Monday for Ray Phelps. Monday afternoon, Kip Lombard comes through and pulls out my registration record because I've canceled, re-registers me over in another part of the county, but still within the electoral district. On Tuesday, Glenn Whalen comes along and looks over in that other part and says, yeah, there's Ray Phelps over there in the other part of the county. I'm now at the counter, I give you a second ballot, you're not going to get them together. because you've got to be able to make those verifications. Those things take time. And the problem is you're trying to put two and three layers together of very different, very disciplined, and very
So what you're saying
rigid
is this
system
inevitably means there will be no last day voter registration.
As we perceive it at this point, yes, ma'am. I have to be very honest with you.
Mr. Chairman.
Well, yes, Representative Mason.
Representative Hendrickson, we've got to start balancing, you know, to use constitutional language, you've got to balance a few interests here.
I agree.
And the interests we're balancing here, and this is not for the primary or general election.
That's right. It is not.
This is not.
I'm not as concerned about the special districts, but I think what the thrust of this is going to be is to carry it over to the general and the primary.
I don't think any
people,
of us feel,
and I think
really
people
honestly
should start thinking about, and I cannot believe that you cannot devise systems to accommodate people.
I'm as in love with the last day registration as anyone. But at the same time, I think that in special district elections where the turnout is zilch, last day registration is a moot point.
I believe that with the voter registration cutoff system, first of all of the people who will be registering, say we have no cutoff right now. Let's say that's 100 persons that will register within inside that 30 day up through and including election day. With the 30 day cutoff, I believe that probably 60 of those 100 persons will register by that 30th day. That's number one. Number two, then, with the voter registration, no cutoff, and my concerns about integrity notwithstanding, just the participation, which is what Representative Mason, I think, is getting toward, I believe that with the no voter registration cutoff, that we will probably experience maybe a 20-25% participation, even though we're allowing registration all the way up through and including Election Day.